Now entering the truth zone, deep into the vortex of the information revolution with your host, Michael B.
My name is Michael B., and this is The Truth Zone, coming to you live from North Dallas, Texas, on this beautiful Monday, last day of July. And don't we have a lot on our plate? From the failed repeal of the federal government controlling and manipulating the health insurance industry. Of course, everybody calls it the repeal of health care, and how the Republicans have failed to repeal and replace with a better health care system, unknowingly supporting the federal government's takeover and permanent stronghold of an entire industry. The founding fathers, I don't think, would approve. This is not capitalism. And excuse me for that little mumble here. I'm having an allergy issue, and I got a cough drop in my mouth. I was hoping I'd be done with it before I started the show, but I didn't. So if I sound like I have marbles in my mouth, I don't. I have a Hall's cough drop, and they've been pretty effective. So this is the federal takeover. This is communism. This is socialism. This is what's called crony capitalism, where the giants of an industry collude with the federal government to create legislation that eliminates as much of their competition as possible. What these regulations do, they don't cut into the profits of the giants of an industry. That's what they tell you. And then, of course, they tell you, well, the first things I have to do is I have to lay people off. But the CEO gets a massive raise, gets massive stock options. Now, how is that possible? How can a corporation cry about regulations and taxes, yet their profits still go up every quarter? And as Rand Paul pointed out, the health insurance industry, not the health care industry, the health insurance industry has more than doubled its profits since 2010, from $7 billion plus to $15+ billion a year in profit. Does that sound like a loss to you? If profits have doubled, how come jobs haven't doubled? How come prices haven't gone down then? I'll tell you why. They don't have to come down. Competition has been greatly eliminated because smaller companies can't handle it. So that gives us fewer choice in who we can become a client to. It's simple economics. Supply, demand, and price. The supply, which is health insurance companies and different plans, that's the supply. They've been reduced. Since population continues to go up, not at the proper pace, but demand has increased. So what happens to price? Naturally, they elevate. It's natural law in terms of economics. That's why Venezuela, the biggest oil reserve country in the world, is imploding from within, because the government owns everything. They decide the winners, they decide the losers, and this is what Obamacare has done. And I understand this latest round was supposedly a straight-up repeal of Obamacare, but that's not true. Many pundits have said that have analyzed this, it removes most of, or a lot of, the regulations and taxes of the ACA, but not all of them. They're calling it a skinny repeal. Well, we the American people want a fat one. And it's very simple. It could be done in many different ways. Number one, the House of Representatives, every time the budget comes up, could simply defund it. But they scare you into government shutdown. Ladies and gentlemen, the government has never shut down. The government has never not written a Social Security check and not mailed it. The military has never shut down. Ever. When there have been alleged government shutdowns, they scare you into believing the country is going to collapse if we don't get on board with a budget approval. The sky is going to fall. The world is going to end. And we're going to starve in the streets. Nothing could be farther from the truth. And they prey upon our lack of knowledge. Now, I don't like to use the word ignorant. The word ignorant is insulting. I think ignorance is when you present someone with something that is true beyond a reasonable doubt, but they refuse to adopt it. And they hold on to what's not true. That's being ignorant. When you're not willing to be expansive and willing to listen. At least listen to all the facts. Fact check them. See the fruits of that. And then make your decision. But to all out just deny. Now that's ignorance. So I just think a lot of us. And I've been there. We are uninformed. We have relied until this expansion of the internet, which really has been great over the last, I would say, 5, 6, maybe 7 years that we've been, all right, maybe 10, perhaps, that we've been fully into it now, that we can just access everything and anything, and do it pretty cheaply as well, may I add. But before that, we really had a huge reliance on a limited source, which now, you know, we've discovered it's become mainstream, that mainstream media, as it's called now, is manipulated by 6% of the world's corporations. So when you have 6% controlling almost all of the media that we receive, it is very easy for them to tell us what they want us to hear. So that was okay then. It's not okay now. People across America are talking about this issue, the repeal and replace business, as fixing the quality of health care. This is not about health care. We have the greatest medical technology on the planet. We have the best medical education on the planet, which is why doctors coming from India, South America, the Middle East, wherever, when they come here, their qualifications that they had in their countries are insufficient. And they have to go through our educational process to become an American doctor. So, the healthcare industry, as a practice and as a level of advancement, is not the issue. The issue is the federal control of access to that health care by regulating the health insurance industry. Has anyone asked what is health insurance? Health insurance is leverage against financial collapse due to an illness or injury. That's what health insurance is. That's what house insurance is. Leverage against losing your home from floods, mold, whatever. Car insurance is leverage against financial collapse should you get into a car accident and your car receives devastating damage that you cannot afford out of pocket. That's what insurance is. This is about access to affordable insurance to leverage you against financial collapse. The federal government wants to control and regulate that. And I know a lot of people won't like this, but Donald Trump is culpable in this matter because he was just itching to sign both versions that the GOP gave us. Now, I know I'm ranting and not doing my original topic, which I will. I just opened with it, now I'm explaining it. Sometimes that happens. This is, you know, like Alex Jones says, my show has been this way too. It's teleprompter free, and I don't have a script. I do have a little bit of notes of where I want to go with the show, but, you know, hey, I just run, which whatever comes into my brain. And sometimes I go way off track, but that's okay. Because I know, or I'm hoping, that I'm educating a lot of people. So, Donald Trump made several promises, and none of these three versions have his promises in them. He promised to get rid of the state borders on health insurance, meaning all insurance companies can do business in all 50 states of their choosing. So there's no more domestic, foreign, they'd still be alien. Now, alien means insurance companies from another country. Foreign meant health insurance, corporate headquarters located in another state. Domestic meant health insurance companies with the corporate offices in that state in which you live. So, by removing the state borders, the terms domestic and foreign would be eliminated. None of that was in any version of the GOP plans that they showed us. The Cadillac tax was supposed to be removed. The Republicans repealed that in 2015. The Cadillac tax was still in play, at least up to the second version. I'm not going to speak for the skinny repeal. Donald Trump also promised us that our premiums that we pay every month would be tax deductible in the same fashion as the corporations. In 2017, that promise has not been on the table. And I haven't heard Donald Trump speak, unless someone can prove me wrong, I haven't heard him speaking about those two promises. Planned Parenthood was supposed to be defunded for good, period. Now we've seen we're only for a fiscal year. So what happens in fiscal year two? Common sense will tell you that Planned Parenthood will start receiving funding again. That's not a promise of cutting funds to Planned Parenthood. We have to use the correct terminology. This is about the federal government regulating and controlling an entire industry that is not American. That, my dear friends, is socialism. Which brings me to Cuba. Members of the church I go to Cuba every year to obviously minister to people, strengthen the local Christian churches there, and to offer support. Well, they came back with some bad news. Now, we know that Barack Obama has opened the doors to Cuba. Now, on the surface, that was a good thing, in my opinion, because if we can do business with China and we can forgive Vietnam, forgiving Cuba was long overdue. So, if we can do business with Vietnam and China, we should have been doing business with Cuba. So, in the long run, it may still be good, but, you know, we say, oh, tourism is coming in. Oh, that's going to be great. Money's going to be coming into Cuba now. Well, here's the thing. The money is going to the government. The price of milk has more than doubled to $3 a gallon. The average Cuban, and this is American dollars, the average Cuban makes $15 to $20 a month. All of the hotels and restaurants are soaking up the resources. The people are left with nothing. So, the people are in worse shape than they were before Obama opened the doors. And, you know, I am not a fan of regime change as a rule. But in this case, it probably would have been better to negotiate change with the Castros or outright regime change them before the doors were opened. It's like the cart before the horse. The floodgates are open and the people are losing. On top of that, satanic cults like Santeria, I believe it's called, and Islam are growing in Cuba. The Muslims are sending in 100 people a year just to relocate and spread Islam. And the people are vulnerable. Because you know those Muslims are coming in with money. Islam is a monotheistic satanic cult. Allah is Satan, the sun god. Satan is the father of paganism. Sun god worship. A lot of people don't know that. Paganism has infiltrated Christianity. I've done shows on that. I'll probably do shows again. So, Cuba is in a lot of trouble, and it seems like a race between Christianity and Satanism is on in Cuba. And it's going to be interesting to see. I am hoping personally that Jesus Christ will concentrate on Cuba and he will prevail if he wants to. So let's move on to the world at war. We have stuff going on with Russian sanctions. And I don't understand, personally, I don't understand these sanctions. Don't understand them. What has Russia done? Russia did not get me to vote for Donald Trump. Hillary Clinton did that. James Comey admitted Russia had no effect on this election. Donald Trump says he doesn't want sanctions on Russia, but hasn't said he won't veto the bill that the Senate passed because North Korea is packaged into it. One has nothing to do with the other. A sincere president would veto it and say, you give me a separate package for North Korea, a separate package for Iran, and a separate package for Russia. I'm going to veto Russia, and if you overturn me, that's on your head. I'm going to pass the bills for sanctions on Iran and North Korea as they are justified. Voting yes on a sanction bill because it includes two of the three countries you agreed to those sanctions, that doesn't cut it for me. Mm-mm. That doesn't work. You have separate sanctions for each country. You address them separately. And this nonsense with Russia, because they are allied with Syria, and for damn good reason, is really a dangerous thing. So I'm going to play this clip. It's called Signs of the Times, Tensions Reaching a Boiling Point. It's going to cover many different topics. Terrorism, the North Korea thing, all of that. So it's a really good hodgepodge of the state of the world right now. And see, I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say that This is all a major distraction from things going on at home. We don't have tax reform. We're still under federal control of the health insurance industry that I talked about. I know they say the economy is getting better. I'm not going to dispute that. I would just like to see, and I can't find data on it. If anybody can, please post it to the Truth Zone on Facebook. I would love to see the types of jobs being created. The average American makes $50,000 a year. That's $25 an hour on a 40-hour work week. I would love to know the median range, hourly or annually, of these new jobs that are being created. I would like to see that. But until then, I'm going to remain somewhat skeptical. Yes, we could be moving forward. That's wonderful. But I think how forward is really important. So let's go with this clip. Signs of the end times, tensions reaching a boiling point. I believe this is courtesy of Soldier of God.
Tensions continue at sea between Iran and the United States. The Iranian Revolutionary Guards say U.S. Navy ships have shot flares from a close distance to their vessels in the Persian Gulf. There has been no immediate official comment from Washington on this matter. This is the second confrontation between the U.S. and Iranian navies this week. Last Tuesday, a U.S. Navy ship fired warning shots when an Iranian vessel in the Gulf came within 150 yards of it, the first such incident since President Donald Trump took office in January.
The U.S. Senate approved a fresh package of Iran sanctions on Friday, a move that the Islamic Republic says will impact cooperation over the landmark 2015 nuclear deal.
It is imperative that we show an appropriate reaction in light of such hostile and vicious actions taken by the United States. They will affect the implementation of the nuclear deal and will reduce Iran's expected benefits from it.
The latest attempts to economically isolate Iran came a day after it successfully tested a rocket capable of putting a satellite into orbit. The country has long insisted its space program has peaceful aims only, but Western governments fear it plans to develop longer-range missiles with nuclear capability. Britain, France, Germany, and the U.S. roundly condemned Iran's actions as destabilizing.
The United States flexing its military muscle over the Korean Peninsula after yet another North Korean missile test. Video filmed by the U.S. Air Force show B-1 bombers conducting exercises with South Korean and Japanese planes. The maneuver comes after Pyongyang celebrated the country's second intercontinental ballistic missile test in a month, and boasting the entire U.S. was now within striking range of its weaponry.
Amid North Korea's continuing missile provocations, South Korea is planning to expand its defense capabilities. On Sunday, Defense Minister Song Yong-mu said Seoul will upgrade its Patriot missile system to better protect the nation's capital area. Song inspected a Patriot missile site where he reaffirmed that Seoul will soon establish its own anti-missile system.
The Pentagon says they shot down a medium-range ballistic missile over the Pacific Ocean in another test of the THAAD system. That system intercepts missiles as they head down towards the Earth in the final or terminal phase of a launch. It's designed to intercept short and medium-range ballistic missiles, not long-range missiles like North Korea launched on Friday. The U.S. says they've conducted 15 successful tests of the THAAD system. That's 15 out of 15. They have only done 15 tests. The most recent is in response to North Korea's Friday launch of an intercontinental ballistic missile. North Korean state media says their recent ICBM launch proves that North Korea is capable of hitting the U.S. and delivering a large nuclear warhead. Experts say the long-range missile flew over 500 miles higher than the July 4th test. In a statement, U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson says Russia and China need to do more. President Trump is tweeting some of his criticisms, writing, quote, "I am very disappointed in China. Our foolish past leaders have allowed them to make hundreds of billions of dollars a year in trade, yet they do nothing for us with North Korea. Just talk. We will no longer allow this to continue. China could easily solve this problem."
While China expressed opposition to North Korea's ballistic missile launch, it remains consistent on its stance on THAAD. Beijing expressed its strong disapproval of President Moon's decision to deploy additional THAAD launchers, describing it as deeply concerning. A spokesperson for China's foreign ministry reiterated the government's opposition to THAAD deployment, saying it will not help resolve the crisis on the peninsula. He added the deployment will greatly disturb the strategic balance in the region and undermine China's security interests as well. Ever since Seoul announced that it will bring in the THAAD system last year, Beijing has carried out a series of unofficial economic retaliations affecting South Korea's exports and its culture and tourism industries.
China on Sunday celebrated the 90th anniversary of the founding of its People's Liberation Army with a massive military parade. President Xi Jinping oversaw a mass rally of troops and flybys of advanced jets and told the military to transform itself into an elite force. Also at the event, the PLA unveiled a new type of ICBM, the Dongfeng or DL-31AG. Experts say the DL-31AG is launched from a mobile carrier like its predecessor, the 31A, with a range of about 11,000 kilometers. But its key upgrade is a carrier that can go off-road, giving the missiles the strategic advantage of being more easily moved or hidden.
Russia's annual Navy Day parade gives Moscow the chance to display to the world its maritime power and military strength. Overseen by Russian President Vladimir Putin, the ceremony, which traditionally takes place on the last Sunday in July, this year features representatives of the Baltic, Black Sea, Northern and Pacific fleets, as well as the Caspian fleet. Two of Russia's largest nuclear-powered vessels are taking part in the parade in the country's second-largest city of St. Petersburg. A 175-meter-long Typhoon-class submarine and the nuclear-powered Kirov-class battlecruiser. Both ships are the largest of their kind anywhere in the world. In total, about 50 ships and submarines will take part in the parade, while more than 40 planes and helicopters of the Naval Aviation will fly above the city. Navy Day parades are scheduled to be held at every Russian naval base, and also for the first time the Mediterranean Sea, near the Syrian port of Tartus.
The weather was picture perfect off the Virginia coast yesterday for the first ever carrier catapult shot with the Navy's electromagnetic catapult. The Navy promised us last week it would work, and here is video proof that it did. Even President Trump once took a shot at the electromagnetic catapult system, but yesterday the Navy shot off one of its F-18 Super Hornets. As you might remember, you can see them celebrating right there. As you might remember, President Trump commissioned the USS Gerald R. Ford last weekend. And the ship includes not only the new catapult, but $12.9 billion worth of new gear. It also includes a new way to trap planes once they land. We took a tour of the Ford's flight deck to learn what the changes all mean.
And when you say the arresting gear, that's the thing that makes sure the airplane stops on the deck.
Yeah, so there's three arresting wires. Each of those is connected to the advanced arresting gear, which also is a completely different system. The Nimitz-class carriers have a hydraulic engine, where ours, the main stopping force, is called a water twister. So that is a completely redesigned system as well, and a first of its kind.
Breaking news coming in from Australia at this hour. Arrests in a possible terror plot. The Australian Prime Minister says the plot was to bring down an airplane. ABC's Jennifer Eccleston is in London with what we're learning. Jennifer.
That's right. Well, we are learning chilling new details tonight about four men arrested Saturday in Australia as part of a terrorism operation. Late tonight, the Prime Minister saying the four were plotting to bring down a plane. Australia's federal police believe the plot was Islamist-inspired. They were arrested in Sydney during raids earlier today. Right now, we know additional security measures are in place at airports across the country. Transport security officials telling ABC News that screening will now take longer. All of those added security measures going into place as this counter-terror operation continues. And at this hour, the national terror alert level remains at high. Details are still coming in. We will continue to follow this very important story.
We face a range of terrorist threats. Some of them are lone actors who activate very quickly with very little warning. On other occasions, you get quite elaborate conspiracies. This appears to be in that category.
German police have ruled out terrorism after an Iraqi gunman killed one person and injured three others in a nightclub. The 34-year-old attacker has also since died in hospital from his injuries after a gunfight with police outside the venue in the town of Konstanz in the southwestern state of Baden-Württemberg. A police officer was also wounded. Special forces were deployed in the city as it was not clear at the time if the suspect had acted alone or had accomplices. Police said the gunman had lived in Germany for several years and was not an asylum seeker. They added that the motives of the man who acted alone are still unclear, but there may have been a dispute among criminals that led to the shooting in an industrial area of the city.
Police in the German city of Hamburg say the suspect in a deadly knife attack in a supermarket was what they call a known Islamist, but not a jihadist. One person was killed and seven others injured in the attack. The state interior minister spoke to reporters.
So, this guy's a Muslim who does a knife attack, but he's not a jihadist. How many knife attacks have we heard about the last several years? And I did part of my show, if it wasn't last week, it was 2 weeks ago, on Hamburg. Crime riddled from the Muslim migrants that they have brought in to their country.
Im jetzigen Zeitpunkt können wir zur Motivlage des Täters.
What we can say at the moment about the perpetrator's motive is that there's a link to religious motives, Islamic motives.
Religiöse Beweggründe gibt.
But on the other hand, there's also evidence.
That would make him a jihadist.
Of mental instability, he says.
Yeah. Of course they're mentally unstable. I did a show on that too. They're inbred. They marry their first cousins because Muhammad said, Allah, a.k.a. Satan, said it was okay to do so. They're inbred. That's why they're crazy. And then on top of their dogma, on top of their so-called holy scripture, which is anything but holy, of course they have mental issues. They're maniacs, plain and simple.
Eine psychische Labilität.
The suspect is a 26-year-old migrant who had requested asylum. Authorities say previously they were unable to deport the man because he had no identification papers. Investigators say they believe the suspect acted alone.
People have been evacuated from a music festival in Spain after a fire broke out, ravaging the main stage. Revelers fled the Tomorrowland Unite electronic music concert in Barcelona as clouds of smoke billowed into the sky and flames engulfed a large stage decoration before spreading across the speaker system and a big screen. The blaze occurred at the 12-hour event in the Parc de Can Zam on the outskirts of Barcelona. Emergency services rushed to the scene, although everyone was evacuated safely and no injuries were reported. The cause of the fire remains unclear, although local media reported that it could have been triggered by a firework display which was part of the show. The flames were soon brought under control and put out, although festival organizers said the main stage had been totally destroyed.
The family of Rashan Charles, who died in police custody a week ago, has urged calm following violent protests in East London on Friday night. The 20-year-old was wrestled to the ground by officers in Dalston on the 22nd of July and died about an hour later. Diane Abbott, Labour MP for Hackney North and Stoke Newington, said questions must be answered.
I'm here to assure the parents and assure the community that I will stand by the parents in their fight for the truth. We have all, well, most of us will have seen the video, and there are questions to be answered, and I will not rest until those questions are answered.
On Friday evening, a large gang of protesters, many of whom had their faces covered, clashed with riot police as tensions came to a head in Dalston. Bottles, stones and other objects were hurled at officers as they used shields to move into the violence in an attempt to bring it under control. The police watchdog, the Independent Police Complaints Commission, has launched an investigation into Charles's death.
Security is tight at voting stations in Venezuela. As the country prepares for elections for a legislative assembly, that critics claim will give embattled President Maduro a tighter grip on power. Many opponents say they will not vote in Sunday's ballot. Demonstrations in the country have been banned since Friday, but some protesters are vowing to take to the streets. Of the more than 6,000 candidates for the 545-member so-called Constituent Assembly, not one is from Venezuela's opposition. They boycotted the election, claiming it's rigged in favor of President Maduro. Already weakened by recession, the country has seen 4 months of violent anti-government demonstrations that have left more than 110 people dead and scores injured.
As many of you know, most of South America.
This is the result of socialism. This is what Bernie Sanders embraces. Oh, he loves Venezuela and their form of government, but he doesn't love it enough to go and live there. Isn't that convenient?
America is in the dog shitter right now. Rio de Janeiro, Brazil is no different. The government announced yesterday, July 28th, that the implementation of the National Security Plan in Rio de Janeiro will employ 8,500 members of the armed forces, 620 members of the National Security Force, and 1,120 of the Federal Highway Police in an effort to improve security. Shortly after signing a decree authorizing the use of the armed forces in the state, President Michel Temer commented on the decision. In a video posted on the president's official Twitter account, he opened the message stating, "The military employment is supported by the federal constitution." Directing his speech to the residents of Rio de Janeiro, he justified the decree, citing the severity of the public security crisis in the state.
Troops and security paramilitaries were deployed across the city of Srinagar as the Indian government tried to prevent demonstrators taking to the streets in any force. They were protesting against the court's decision and a string of recent arrests of separatist leaders. 5 members of the Indian Army accused of murdering 3 Kashmiri civilians in what was described as an extrajudicial killing 7 years ago have now been released on bail. The protesters described the judges in the trial as thieves, scoundrels and occupiers. Originally, the army described the men killed as foreign rebels. It sparked a cycle of violence in the region. Around 100 civilians died in the anti-India protests that year.
At least 6 people have been killed and 20 others wounded after a car bomb attack in Somalia's capital, Mogadishu. The bomb went off near a police station amid a traffic jam while soldiers were searching cars at a nearby intersection. Witnesses say three vehicles were destroyed on the road and the blast was followed by big clouds of smoke in the sky. Most of the victims were pedestrians, whilst others were out shopping. Who was responsible and the exact target of the blast still remains unclear.
At least 69 people have been killed in a Boko Haram ambush of an oil exploration team in North
Somalia. Is being brought to different countries, including the United States, to spread this type of violence. This is a worldwide agenda, folks. It's a worldwide agenda to make the entire world a police state.
East Nigeria. This is the bloodiest attack by the terror organization this year. Apart from the killings, Boko Haram has kidnapped at least three workers from the site. The three made a video appeal to the Nigerian government.
I want to call on the entire media community to help us to support this, our cry, so that we'll be rescued alive. I want to call on the acting president, Professor Yemi Osinbajo, to come to our rescue, to meet the demand of soldiers of Khalifa.
ISIL militants come under further attack in the Syrian city of Raqqa by US-backed Kurdish-led forces. American jets are carrying out airstrikes as fighters from an alliance of Kurdish and Arab militias advance further into the city, a stronghold of ISIL in Syria since 2014. Fighters from the SDF alliance say they seized drones and ammunition from ISIL. This fighter says we found these and took them. They would fly them and explore our areas. You can also see mortars made by hand. And here are the drones and bombs they would make. It's reported ISIL fighters attacked the US-backed forces east of Raqqa on Friday, abducting a number of people.
Right now in the state of Texas, if you carry a knife, it has to be single-edged and under 5.5 inches. But come September 1st, you might start seeing larger, sharp objects like this sword out in the public.
Katana styles over here.
Ana Escobedo spent years selling these items, knowing they were heading from her display case to a buyer's home collection. Now, she might run into them in the street.
No limit. So carrying a sword down the street, carrying a Bowie knife down the street, completely legal.
House Bill 1935 was originally shelved after police in Austin said a man killed one student at UT and injured three others with a large hunting knife. The bill, though, got approval and signed into law by Governor Abbott last month.
I think it was just more to give people more rights and to make sure that they felt like they were free to carry what they wanted.
People on September 1st can start carrying swords, Bowie knives, spears, and double-edged blades, and even machetes. The law won't apply to places like schools, prisons, hospitals, amusement parks, churches, and bars.
The idea that somebody's walking down the street with a sharp object that's maybe larger than your toddler, that can be pretty alarming for people.
But former Garland police detective, now private law enforcement consultant Clint McNear, says he doesn't expect much change.
When open carry came about, there was some initial fear of, is everybody going to be carrying guns everywhere, or is there going to be shootings everywhere? And I really think this is going to mirror that.
He says police are briefing their officers, but it's not usually what's in the open they're worried about.
Statistics have shown over and over and over again, an armed citizenry is a peaceful and polite society.
But it's really the unknown. Does the guy have a weapon concealed on him?
Now, we did reach out to several law enforcement agencies in North Texas. Most didn't want to comment about the new law. The ones that did get back to us indicated they didn't expect too much of a change.
University uproar. A popular UCLA professor out in Los Angeles now filing a formal complaint, a grievance with his union after he claims he was fired because he's conservative and has conservative views.
Students protested back in May saying that they were being blocked from enrolling in Keith Fink's class
on free speech before he was let go. And joining us now is that former UCLA professor and attorney, Mr. Keith Fink. Thank you so much, Professor, for joining us.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Tell us why you were fired.
Just this year, there was a new chairperson who is a liberal ideologue with great disdain for conservative views. She came in, and the first day after my first class, she immediately slashed my class enrollment. I fought for the students, and it all went downhill from there. I mean, when I say downhill, I think it was preordained from the day that she came in that the school was intent on getting rid of me.
Okay, so the school, UCLA, you say, is taking a leftward tilt. Just out of curiosity, how many outward conservative professors...
Taking a leftward tilt? Ronald Reagan called college universities back in the 80s leftist indoctrination centers. This is nothing new. They've just ramped it up because, as Paul Joseph Watson says, conservatism is the new counterculture.
What professors do they have on the staff, do you think?
You mean on the whole campus?
Yeah.
Outward conservative? I could probably count them on my hand.
Is that right?
I could count out. Well, you say outward. Mm-hmm. Coming outward? Certainly nobody's as vocal as I am. There's a conservative professor in the law school named Eugene Volig. But I'd say less than five.
From intense heat waves to severe flooding, Europe is a continent of extremes at the moment. Severe weather conditions have caused mayhem and destruction in many countries. Italy's experienced one of its driest springs in some 60 years. Meteorologists say some parts of the country have seen rainfall totals 80% below normal. The loss in sunflowers like softened durum wheat is about 40 to 60%. Sunflowers sowed at the right moment are ready to be harvested 1 month before their time. In Portugal, more than 1,000 firefighters were deployed to extinguish two forest fires in the provinces of Castelo Branco and Santarém, which have forced authorities to evacuate surrounding villages.
Typhoon Nessat made landfall in Taiwan on Saturday, bringing with it strong winds and heavy rainfall to eastern and southern parts of the island nation and flooding streets and homes. It is the first tropical storm to hit Taiwan so far this year, with its eye gliding over the country's east coast before moving on towards China. Winds from the typhoon reach speeds of up to 180 kilometers per hour, and measures are being put in place to protect citizens. In Taiwan's mountainous eastern areas, residents were evacuated to safety in case of mudslides, and shops along streets in big cities were covered with tarpaulin to prevent damage. As southeastern China braces itself for the impact of the typhoon, over 3,000 people were evacuated from Fujian province, where the storm is expected to make landfall on Sunday.
Every day, this 13-year-old sets out on a journey to collect water, and she spends 8 hours doing it. She's just one example of the 2.1 billion people who aren't able to get safe drinking water where they live. Safe is the key word. The World Health Organization says billions more people now have drinking water and sanitation services.
That's another thing that's happening in Cuba. Clean water is getting more and more scarce. That is not due, folks, to a depletion in natural resources. As I said at the top of the show, it has to do with government control. Cuba is still a communist government in control of every industry. And because of that, for instance, and I forgot to mention this, we were told at church yesterday that the Cuban government does not allow restaurants to serve beef and seafood in the new tourist districts. Why? I mean, why wouldn't you? All they can do is serve chicken and pork. And actually, when you can only serve two things, demand is high, you run out of supply. See, this is all government manipulation. And then they come back and say, we have to conserve, we have to conserve. Oh, we're losing everything. Oh, global warming. Oh, our resources are depleted. No. It's the government manipulating and preventing free and open trade. It's the government that is manipulating supply and demand. That's the problem here.
This is nearby compared with a decade ago, but they're not necessarily free of contamination. That matters because drinking contaminated water can put children at risk. Diarrhea, for example, kills over 360,000 kids each year. There are various international efforts to help more people get clean water or sanitation. The United Nations put a universal coverage target for 2030, but a recent report acknowledges that the progress 90 countries have been making is too slow to meet that goal. And other barriers exist, including lack of data, conflict, and inequality in rural and urban environments.
We end the week with Steve Hartman and the story of two lives finding new direction after a chance encounter on the road.
There were two very different sides to 49-year-old Anita Hughes.
Thank you, Jesus.
At her church in Cleveland, she was a fearless hurricane. While at home, more like a stationary front. As we first reported last year, she rarely left the house and wouldn't travel anywhere by herself, which is why it was such a big deal when Anita Hughes decided to step way outside her comfort zone and take a trip on her own.
I turned the ignition and I actually got on 77 South. And I went.
She was headed for North Carolina for a gospel concert, and she made it just fine. But on the way home, she got so terribly lost, she didn't even know what state she was in.
So Anita pulled into the 7-Eleven in Strasburg, Virginia to ask directions. You can see her entering there on the right. Unfortunately, there's no sound, but by all accounts, you could hear her desperation, loud and clear.
Can somebody please tell me how to get to Cleveland?
I mean, she came in full-throated, like a Broadway star on stage, reaching the back row. She was genuinely turned around.
Jason Wright was a customer in the store. He says he gave Anita directions, but she was still scared and skeptical.
I said, that's the right way. You come show me how to get to Cleveland. So he did.
What?
Yeah. He was so nice.
I mean, I'm going in the complete opposite direction.
You were?
I live here to the south. I'm driving north, so far out of my way.
Jason drove 35 miles out of his way to get her back on track to Cleveland. And then a few days later, drove another 300 miles to take her to the moon. Obviously, Anita got a new friend and a new confidence.
Jason gave you a lot more than directions that day.
That he did. Just a little bit of appliance of affection can change a whole situation.
Since their chance encounter, Anita has taken many more trips and got a new job.
Can't believe he won't forsake you.
And as for Jason,
he will never fail you.
He got a new mission too.
What's your name?
Roger.
In the last year,
my name's Cleo.
Jason has given rides to more than a dozen other strangers.
Yeah, home is where I lay my head.
He records and treasures their stories. Because, he says, if Anita taught him anything, it's that we have a lot more in common than we realize. And we need to start living like it.
We're brothers and sisters, and we really do have a responsibility to help one another get home.
And you mean that metaphorically, don't you?
I mean it in every way imaginable.
When one got lost, hope got found.
I gotta tell you, that touches my heart. That really touches my heart. And it's so nice to end the show on a good note. Because it's true. But I'm not surprised that this miracle, if you will, happened to a woman, obviously a sister in the Lord, and her situation opened the doors, whether this man realizes it or not, but he opened himself up enough for the Lord to touch his heart. That was beautiful. And I'm so happy that I didn't have time to hear all of this clip, which is why it's kind of emotional, because I didn't hear this at first. It is so nice to end this show on a good note. And it is so important that we unite under the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ. My name is Michael B. This is the Truth Zone. I will see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Central Time.